You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, according to God's holy word, some will enter into heaven. They will enter into God's rest, but the Bible also teaches that many will not enter. Last week in Hebrews chapter 3, we learned about the deceitfulness of sin. Now, what does the deceitfulness of sin do? It takes someone who is a believer and turns that person into an unbeliever. A very sad situation. Today, we're going to hear some good news about heaven. And then toward the end today, we're going to hear some very important things for us who are Christians to know and to do in order that God will continue then to work in our lives and to keep us in the one true faith. In other words, we don't want to be pulled from belief to unbelief. Going now to Hebrews chapter 4, picking up in verse 1, the Bible says, "Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest," in other words, entering into heaven, "still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it." So as we think today about people who are still alive but are not yet in heaven, what should we say to various people? I'm thinking about four different groups of people here and four ways we might address them. First of all, for those who are being faithful, who are gathering, who are receiving word and sacrament, who are opening their Bibles during the week, who are talking to God in prayer, who are thinking about those who do not yet know Jesus and praying for them and trying to reach out to them. For people like that, we're going to say, continue. Great. Good job. Continue what you're doing. For those who are wavering in their relationship with God, for those who seem to be slipping further and further away, what will we say to them? We would say to them, get in the Word. And God the Holy Spirit will work through that Word in order to draw you closer, to strengthen you, to build you up. So they're going in the wrong direction. Through the Word, God will get them going in the right direction. What about people who are just too busy for God? Well, they probably need a word of law, letting them know, like it says in, for example, Hebrews 10:31, it is a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So they need, in a sense, the threat of the law, but they also need to know that God loves them and God wants them to be with him forever. So we would say to them, get your priorities in order. Stop ignoring the way that God wants to work in your life. And then again, get them into the Word of God. And now what about those who are hard-hearted, who have heard the message over and over again, kind of like Moses going to Pharaoh and saying, this is the message of God, let my people go. Now, what did Pharaoh do over and over again? He hardened his heart to what God was saying to him. And it's interesting in the Bible where a number of times he hardened his own heart, and then this should be a terrifying thing, but after he did it a number of times, then the Bible switches over and it says that God hardened his heart. So he had opportunity, he gave away those opportunities over and over again, and finally God said, okay, if that's the situation that you want, let me help you out. And it becomes a very sad situation. We don't know quite how far people have gone, but for such people, we call them to repent. And how is God going to lead them to repent? Again, to get in his Word so the Spirit can work through that Word in order to change their lives. Going on to verse 2, the Bible says, "For good news came to us, just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them because they were not united by faith with those who listened. In other words, they were not united into the same group with those who listened and believed and are the very children of God. So regarding those who were led by Moses, think about those people. We talked about it a little bit last week. So they witnessed all these miracles. They heard the very word of God through the mouth of Aaron. Nevertheless, most of them did not believe. See, that's why Jesus, even in his day, he was reluctant to do miracles among those who did not believe, because miracles are not the way to make believers. That happened in the time of Moses. It also happened in Jesus' day as well. So miracles are amazing things, but God hasn't chosen to work through miracles to make believers. God has chosen to work through his word to make believers. So even though back in the time of Moses, the law of God showed people their sin, very sadly, they rejected God's promise to send the Messiah. The Bible goes on in verse 3. It says, "For we who have believed," but let's put it, though, in the proper tense, so it's not in a past tense kind of a situation, rather it's present tense here, and it's also a participle, so we could say it this way, "For we believing ones enter that rest," that is heaven. And it's talking about how people die one by one by one, and they enter into heaven. They enter into that place to be with God in soul and spirit, not yet in their bodies. But God said, though, going on in the Bible, God said, "As I swore in my wrath, the unbelievers shall not enter my rest." And then the Bible adds, "Although God's works were finished from the foundation of the world." So think about it like this. God made all people. God sent Jesus to save all people. And God desires all people to be with him forever. And then right now, by God's power, not by our doing, we have no ability, but right now by God's power, all who believe and continue to believe shall one day enter God's rest, shall one day enter into heaven. However, we have another category, and that would be for the ones who keep not believing, and they're very persistent in that. So they have opportunity upon opportunity, and yet for one reason or another, they just keep pushing away the things of God. Maybe they're even thinking, "Someday when I'm older, someday when I have more time." But what is that statement? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. So some people have these good intentions about one day thinking more about God, one day opening the Bible, but really today is the day, because tomorrow could be, it could be too late. So God wants us to have this urgency about it. And then going on to verse 4, it says, "For he," now we're talking here about the psalmist, "for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works." So think about creation here. God created in six, he rested on seven. That's why we follow a week. That's why the whole world follows a week. We get our week from nowhere else than from the Bible, from God creating in six, resting on the seventh. So that's what God did, and then he rested. So what it's really saying there is that God's rest has been available for all people of all time through faith in the Messiah. Because if you think about it like this, God made a perfect world. The people were perfect. As soon as they fell into sin, on that very same day, that's when the Messiah was promised. So there's never been a time when people did not find an open door to enter God's rest. So it was open without Christ prior to the fall, but of course they fell right away, and then it became open through Christ right after the fall. So it's not that people didn't enter because they didn't have opportunity. The opportunity has always been there. And then I have a little section here where I'm trying to say to you, it's not too late for you. So I want you to do something right now, if you would. I want you to take two fingers and hold them up. And then I want you to place them right about here on your neck. And do you feel anything? Do you have a pulse? Okay, so it's good news then. Because you are still alive, that means you still have the opportunity to be able to enter into God's rest. Of course, the sad part is for those people who have already died physically, who no longer have a pulse, they either died in Christ or they did not. And the hard thing is sometimes when those are our loved ones, we certainly hope they did, and we certainly want them to die in Christ, but yet sometimes we just don't know. So if we're not quite sure about someone, it's good to talk to them in a very kind and loving way now, so that when that time comes, we can have comfort knowing that they died in Christ and knowing that we can follow them onto heaven through our faith in Jesus Christ. So going to verse 5, the Bible says, and again, in this passage, God said, the unbelievers shall not enter my rest. With that statement, you can see how what we talked about last week and this week, they're very similar. It's a simple situation. When you have the right key, you can open the right door. When you don't have the key, the door remains locked. Well, what about heaven? There is a key for heaven, and that key is Jesus Christ. So when we have him, when we are in relationship with him, we have the key to be able to be with God forever. But for those who keep rejecting, well, then they're without the key and the door is locked. Think about how with the parable of the 10 virgins, for example, how the 5 were ready when Jesus came, so they entered with him. The other 5 had to go buy their oil. They showed up later. They went to the door and they found out that the door was shut. It was locked, never to be opened again. So God is giving us that urgency to always be ready. And then going to verse 6, it says, since therefore it remains for some to enter God's rest, that is heaven, and those who formerly received the good news, in other words, talking here about the people who were being led by Moses, they failed to enter because of disobedience, again, God appoints a certain day. Today, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear my voice, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For all who died without Jesus, what happened? They failed to enter. Is God a God of love? He is. Some people say he's a God of love, so all will enter. Well, no, it doesn't work like that. God is a God of love, so we know the passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So he gave us the key, but when we throw away the key, then we throw away our opportunity to enter. Part of what it's saying in this particular part of the Bible is that at the time of Moses, the door was open, but many did not believe. It was also open at the time of David. So those who believed, they entered. Those who did not believe, they didn't enter. But what the Bible is also saying, that it's also open in our day as well. So we haven't missed out. In other words, for those who are believers, God wants us to be at peace. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to be certain that heaven is open for us, and when the time comes, God is going to bring us right in. God is calling all people today, even as he did years ago, he's calling them to know their great need. So whether we have one sin or a million sins, we need Jesus. He's also calling us to listen to his holy word. He's speaking to us here. He's also calling us to know that all sin is ultimately against God, so he's calling us to be sorry for our sins And he's also giving us the ability by his grace in order to receive Jesus Christ and know that we are on the path to heaven, and by his grace one day he's going to carry us into heaven. Going on in the text, we come to verse 8, and the Bible says, "For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on." So if we think about this progression then, going back to the time of Moses, so the people were in slavery in Egypt, and then they went on to the wandering in the wilderness, and then finally, after the 40 years, they went to entering the promised land, settling in the promised land, and then resting in the promised land. Now, some people might have thought, oh, that's the rest God was talking about, but let's understand that was a preliminary rest. That was not the ultimate rest. So as we think about them entering the promised land at that time, so they went from slavery to rest in the promised land. So how does that parallel today? We are in the slavery of sin, but God intervenes in order to take us to the ultimate promised land, which is heaven. So what happened long ago is a picture of what will happen when God takes us home to heaven. That is the ultimate rest. And then in verse 9 it says, "So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his." So think about God. Here he is working, if you will, for 6 days creating the world, and then he rested. So he wants our lives to somewhat pattern his life, in a sense, with his creation. So God is calling us to work as we have been gifted. And then when the time comes, God takes us home to heaven. He takes us home to that ultimate rest. When we do the work that we do, we never do it to get into heaven. Heaven is always a gift. So when we're doing the work that we do, we're doing it out of thanksgiving to God. We're also doing it to glorify God because he has given us the gift of eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then in this final part here, we're touching on three things at the end of the text that are dealing with living our Christian lives. So in the first part, I say, let us strive to do our part. Now, when I say it that way, it kind of sounds like, oh, God did his part, we do our part, and that's how we get into heaven. I'm not talking about that at all. We're talking about already being in Christ, already being on the path to heaven, already having the forgiveness of our sins. Now, in that state, we are to strive to do our part. The Bible says, "Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience." I have a quote here from Dr. Kretzmann. He wrote that Christians should strive with all the power of their regenerated heart to enter into that rest. So again, he's not talking about doing something to be saved, but he's talking about being active in our Christian lives, in being in the Word, listening to the Holy Spirit, and responding in a God-pleasing way. Jesus said something similar in Luke chapter 13. Jesus said, "Make every effort to enter through the narrow door being heaven. Make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to." So Jesus wants us to know that time is coming, kind of like the five virgins. They tried to enter, but they were not able. That's going to happen with many people. It's going to be so sad for them. And God doesn't want us to be caught up in that. He wants us to enter. He wants us to be with him forever. And then it's important that not only are we in the Word, but we let the Word do its work within us. So the Bible says here in verse 12, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. You might recall last week in the text, it referred to God as the living God. In this verse, it's talking about the Word of God being the living Word of God. So we have the living God, we have His living Word, and what happens is that the Holy Spirit then is at work through that Word, and not just on the surface, like on our skin, not like that at all, but to the very depths of our being. That's how deeply He wants to work within us. And what is that work doing? That work is to expose our sin. That work is to point us to Jesus. That word is to instruct our lives in Christ. So think about someone who has cancer, not skin cancer, but some kind of cancer deep within. We understand that if that cancer is not completely removed, that cancer will continue to grow and ultimately kill that person. So we're willing to let the doctor cut us wide open and go very deep within our bodies in order to get that cancer and get it out. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through the Word of God. He wants to penetrate to the very depths of our being to identify that sin and get it out. So, like we talked about last week, with the deceitfulness of sin, if we leave it in there, it can grow and grow, and it can lead us to unbelief. So God is saying, be careful. Don't let that happen. And then finally, it's important that we remember that God knows everything. In verse 13, the Bible says, "And no creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account." So here we are today, and looking out on the congregation, it appears that everyone has clothes on. And that's a good thing, isn't it? Aren't we so blessed that we have clothes? Wouldn't it be a bit uncomfortable if we did not have clothes? So with clothes, we're able to cover over our bodies. But what happens, though, is sometimes we think, oh, I can cover over my body, and now you can't see my body. Therefore, maybe there are ways that I can cover over things in my life, so now God can't see me. Some people might reason like that. There was a time in my life, many, many years ago now, where I used to think, okay, I think it's like this, God. You know what I do, and you hear what I say, but you don't know what I'm thinking. Is that true? By no means. So I was deceiving myself at that time. It's interesting, from a passage in the Old Testament in 1 Chronicles 28, but it tells us that not only does God know what we are thinking, but God knows why we are thinking what we are thinking. Sometimes we don't even want God to know all that stuff, but this passage is saying He does. Let's realize God knows all things, but see, that can be to our benefit too. For the doctor who's removing our cancer, do we want him to identify every single cancer cell in there so he can get it out? By all means. So because God knows everything about us, He's able to expose every sin and remove every sin and wash every sin away by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So it's actually to our benefit that He knows all things. Let us pray. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we all desire to go to heaven. So we pray that You would move us to keep seeing our sins, to keep confessing our sins, to keep trusting in Jesus, and to keep being certain that the way to heaven is open for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.